251-342-8917. That's 251-342-8917.
All right, folks, here we go again. This is Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working Special Edition. Our focus on this show is getting you and me, the small businessman, through the COVID-19 drama, through the COVID-19 crisis. The focus of this show is not just the businesses that we normally look at, but exactly what does it take for you and me to stay alive as a small business person, considering most of the landscape that we've counted on has suddenly vanished. And that's what we're going to do today. I'll tell you a little bit about who we've got scheduled on the show in just a moment. But I want to give you a little bit of an update on things as I see them. I'm only one person, but things that I see them since last Tuesday. If you heard last Tuesday's show, you undoubtedly noted the amount of dread and fear in my voice. It's still there. I've done a good job masking it. I'm practicing in the mirror, trying to mask that fear in my voice. But I do want to report that I've seen a few bubbles of activity in my own business, and I hope you've sensed the same thing in your own business. And that is, I've had customers contacting me about the fall. Cam, we're going to be doing this in the fall. Are you available? We're going to be doing this. Are you available to do your work over the internet in a webinar type of thing? And it wasn't until late last week that I began to sense a little bit of hope and optimism. People got over the triage, let's say. They had put a bandage on the wound, and they began looking into the future. And I'm hoping you're experiencing the same thing. One of the things that I'm going to add to the show as we continue to refine it a little bit is a summary at the end of the show of what I think are the most salient points made by the guests. My goal is to get them to enumerate the things you and I need to be doing as small business owners. As we get through this process, I'm going to ask them, give me the three things that we need to know and the three things that we need to do. So if you're one of my upcoming guests today or on Thursday, know that I'm going to ask you to enumerate a list of things to do, and perhaps you should start scratching that out on a piece of paper as we're talking about it right now. One of the things that's becoming more and more relevant to me is some of the common little things that I count on, that you and I may count on a regular basis, that are becoming increasingly difficult to find. I know there's somebody out there that can cut my hair, but I can't find that person. And the only person that I found was charging a good bit more than I was willing to pay. I can't imagine what a haircut that would cost that much would do for me. I'm a normal-looking middle-aged guy, and after spending that much, I'd be a normal-looking middle-aged guy with slightly shorter hair. It's these types of things that I'm beginning to realize are a part of my future, and at least for a little while longer, maybe a little more month, that I continue to go through these small inconveniences that are parts of small business, parts of our life that we're having to deal with. My kids are soldiering on at home through online learning. They're spending an extraordinary amount of time at home, and I know yours are too, and you're wondering when this is going to end. Folks, you don't need to hear me say it, but I'll say it anyway. This is the new normal for a little while. Now, let's talk about what we can expect on today's show. I'll begin with the second guest first. One of the most common questions I've received from listeners when I ask, what are the questions I can answer for you, is, can I be sued as an employer if an employee makes the accusation that they caught this virus at work, that I was not being diligent in keeping my workplace clean, and they make the accusation that they caught it at work? Though there's no way to prove it, the cost of defending myself is extraordinary in such a case. Second part of the show, I'm going to have Matt Green on the line. Matt's going to tell us a little bit about this from his point of view. Matt is an attorney here in town, well-versed in many different aspects of the law, and is going to give us his point of view on this. I'll go ahead and tell you a brief summary of what he and I have discussed. He doesn't think it holds water, but there are some things that you need to do in order to prepare. The first guest after the break is going to be Lewis Advertising, Lewis Communication. They have a genius campaign going on out there right now that I'm a big fan of. They're going to tell you a little bit more about that. But the focus of my conversation with Lewis Communication is going to be, what are the opportunities in advertisement right now? If I have an ad budget, how should I be thinking about it right now, considering what's going on in the marketplace? Is there cheap advertisement to be had? Is there a new way to think about my ad budget? And I'm going to get them to talk about this Act Contagious campaign, which I've seen on their Instagram stuff. Really, really very interesting stuff. Folks, if you want to connect with us, find us on Instagram, What's Working with Cam Marston. Also find us on Facebook. You can see what we got going on out there and what we'll have on shows in the future. After break, we'll have Lewis Advertisement, R.T. Herwig, and Jennifer Dira on What's Working. We'll be back after these breaks. On the line with me is R.T. Herwig and Jennifer Dira, both with Lewis Advertising. I got a couple of things to talk to them about. I've been a fan of their business for a while. But folks, before that, write this number down, 44222, 44222. Text What's Working to 44222 at the end of the hour, or maybe later this afternoon, and I'm going to send you this bulleted list we're creating throughout the show. It'll be supplemented by some things from Lewis Advertising, as well as perhaps Matt Green when we get him on the line. Let's talk to RT and Jennifer about ad budgets in times of crisis. RT, Jennifer, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So I want to begin with this brilliant campaign that I saw on Instagram, hashtag ActContagious. Tell me a little bit about that before I get into the questions about ad budgets in times of crisis.
Yeah, so thanks, Cam. So as Lewis Communications is working with a lot of different healthcare clients, ranging from smaller hospitals to academic medical centers to large health systems, we've seen firsthand the strain that COVID-19 has put on our healthcare clients and all those folks on the front line. And so our leadership and our team wanted to come up with a simple way that we could help stop that strain, spread some different ways that we could help. And so the idea of Act Contagious was developed, and it came from hearing from one of our nation's healthcare officials say, if you act contagious, you won't be contagious. So in other words, if you act as if you already have COVID-19, you'll help keep from spreading it. So from there, the idea of Act Contagious was born. And really, it's just a simple, shareable public awareness message that encourages folks in our community to pledge to stay home, to pledge that they act contagious, with the goal being that we're encouraging folks to voluntarily stay home so they don't put a strain on our healthcare system.
The website is www.actcontagious.com. It's also available, hashtag ActContagious. You can find it on Instagram at Lewis Communications. I think it's a brilliant idea. Hoping it gets picked up, goes viral, and people take this simple idea to heart. I think kudos to you guys, but that's what you pay advertising agencies for, is creativity. Now, let's get into the nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty of the people that this show is targeted to, which is the small business owner out there who maybe has had some budget for advertising and promotion and marketing and things like that. Instantly, in times of crisis, ad budget and, incidentally, training and development budget is often slashed or frozen or whatever it may be. Tell me how a small business should think about advertising dollars in times of crisis. Is there an opportunity to do something with it that's normally not available? Tell me your philosophy on this.
Yeah, so I think that you can break it down into three different areas, Cam. And we've been talking a lot about this, not just with small businesses, but clients and businesses of all sizes. One of the most important things that we're talking to our clients about right now is this idea that you can't appear super opportunistic right now. To be able to talk positively to your consumers is great. And as a matter of fact, 15% of consumers stated that they don't want to hear from brands right now. So that means everybody else wants to hear from the brands that they know and trust. But that doesn't mean that you should be opportunistic. You should try to sell. Right now, what we're telling folks is that brands should continue to advertise during this time, but instead of focusing on sales, they should focus on building and reinforcing relationships with their customers right now.
So one of the things that I've seen in my inbox to the point of ad nauseum is clients or brands, let's use your term, brands that I haven't done business with in 10 years, sending me an email saying, we're here for you. Well, you hadn't been here for me for 10 years. I've forgotten who you are. And your sincere approach to me is just striking me wrong. It's like water in my face. It feels opportunistic. What are your comments on that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a fine line right there because you do have to keep your consumers aware of how your business is changing, you know, whether it be your operating hours, the way in which you're doing business, are you open or closed, are you having to shift? So I think that there's an important fine line between communicating what's important to folks and making sure they're staying up to date and just in their face saying, I'm here for you, when really that's just so disingenuous. And it's just, like you said, and like I said, opportunistic. With this virus right now. So I think you really have to just like toe the line really carefully with that.
Anybody there? Yeah, we're good. We're online.
All right. Yeah, can you hear us?
Oh, I got you. We had a little glitch. Everything's back. So you were saying don't appear too opportunistic. If you would finish that thought, I'm not sure everybody got the end of it.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I was saying you really have to toe the line between feeling opportunistic and taking advantage of what's going on right now in our culture and our communities, and really just relaying information that's important to people, things that they need to know that's relevant to them, whether it's your operating hours or what you're doing to make sure that they're you know, staying safe as they're doing business with you, things that are not opportunistic, but those things that are really informative and that people are looking for to make sure that they feel comfortable doing business with you.
Is it a time to explore new creativity? Is it a time to become something different as a business or a brand? Or my suspicion is you're going to say, no, you go back to what's worked. People need familiarity and predictability right now.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So there's kind of two parts to that answer. The first is, I don't think now is the time to try to go and reposition yourself in the market. A lot of what we're telling folks is, you know, this is short term. We don't know how long it's going to last, but it is short term, and it's going to affect a lot of things. We all recognize that. But you still have to think long term and where you want to be in the long term. What is your strategy, you know, even beyond COVID-19 and this pandemic that we're in? So I think it's kind of twofold. One, are there ways that you can shift your business and your you know, your business model, your strategy now to literally service folks where they are. So actually changing how you do business to make sure that you're still relevant right now. But when it comes to your brand and who you are and your position, I think consistency is really important, as you mentioned, Cam, and making sure that you're still that, you know, familiar presence in your community, especially as a small business. It still remains really important right now.
So some of the guests that we've had last week talked about crisis preparedness and how to think through the preparation of your business going through a crisis. Where does the ad marketing, promotional, social media dollars that normally would be allocated to you come in preparing a business for crisis? What is your thought on that? It would seem like you still got to communicate. You still got to let your customers know you're out there. But what is your opinion of the priority of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that you still do have to communicate, but I think what people need to keep in mind and small businesses need to keep in mind is how we're communicating and where people are right now. We're seeing a lot of folks actually have been pausing their ad dollars right now as they just try to figure out what message is most important. And for some businesses, that means, does our business change right now? Because we literally cannot do business as usual. We're having to shift and having to re-communicate and retrain our consumers on what our business is and how they can access us. But the other thing is, you know, changing the tone of your messaging. There's a lot of uncertainty right now in our community. People are scared, and they're looking to brands and to small businesses and others to provide that sense of normalcy, but also help guide them through all of this. And so anything that a small business can do to remain positive, putting a positive message out in the community, and also making sure that you're spending ad dollars in places where people actually are. You know, a lot of outdoor and out-of-home dollars have been shifted to in-home channels because people are staying at home right now. So things like streaming TV, social media, those are all really important. And then the other thought with that, too, is folks are looking for information and updates on social media, on your website. So continuing to use those own channels that you can consistently manage and control the message is really important right now as well.
You've brought up a great point that the focus of the dollars, let's say you've got a pot of money, the focus of the dollars may need to shift based on where people are right now. They've moved from moving around, let's say, to a sedentary state, yet they still need to see your message. Where are people seeing advertisement, communication messages right now? Is it safe to assume it's all online?
It's a lot of online, and we've also seen a lot of broadcast TV increase. You know, people are looking for news. They're looking for it on TV. They're looking for it on their streaming TVs, and they're definitely looking for it online, whether it be local news channels, national news channels, social media. All of those continue to see increases in consumption, while, you know, the things you would expect to go down, like out-of-home, outdoor-type channels, are decreasing right now.
Yeah, so I can certainly see how that's coming online. I'm curious, are there good deals out there right now from, you know, let's hypothetically say, a radio station or a billboard company or something like that? Is now the time, you know, without looking greedy or too opportunistic, like you mentioned, is now the time for someone who does have ad budget and has something to offer in this time to begin shopping for deals?
You know, it really depends on what your industry is, what type of business you're in. You know, there are people who are still having to drive around, essential folks. So if you offer something, let's just say coffee, for instance, and we know that there are a lot of healthcare folks out there who are still heading to work and still need that, you know, that might be a great opportunity to look for something like radio or outdoor, some type of out-of-home to reach those audiences. But it really does depend on what your business is, what your business strategy is, and also how you're changing and evolving your business model during this time, because a lot of folks are having to shift what they're doing and change their business as we kind of react to what's going on right now.
A number of organizations I've seen online are making sure that the cameras are running when they deliver pizzas to the hospitals. They're delivering whatever it may be to, let's say, the police force or something like that. It's a chance of getting caught doing something good, of course, for the hope of being recognized for this. Tell me how to think through that. If there's an organization out there that says, maybe we don't have a lot of the budget to buy, but we sure can deliver some pizzas to the first responders. Is there a strategy in that that will help them get recognition?
Absolutely. I think, you know, in terms of earned media, so doing something that catches the attention of folks on social media, something that can go viral or something that could be, you know, attractive enough for a news station or a radio station to pick it up. I think there are lots of opportunities for that. And I think what's great is kind of this idea of the spirit of, you know, small business and local businesses. People in the community want to see that kind of good right now, and we're seeing lots and lots of news stories come about and lots of brands who are doing a really fantastic job by doing something for free or doing some sort of good in their community. So I 100% think there are plenty of opportunities for that. Get your iPhone, your camera out, record it. You know, make sure that you're letting folks know what you're doing. I think there's always the opportunity for that to be picked up. And, you know, even promoting it on your own social media channel, spreading the word is really important when you're doing that type of thing.
Talk to me about self-promotion. There's a lot of need for that, and it's easy to do considering the ubiquity of social media, of self-promotion. Is there a strategy for any of the small businesses listening in to do it without looking what is the word I'm trying to say? Arrogant or seeking attention? What is the trick to social to self-promotion without looking arrogant?
So I think that you really have to consider what folks are looking for and what's most relevant to them right now. Something like a live video where you're giving tips to folks. You know, it's not self-serving. You're trying to help others, whether it's your consumers or others in the community. I think taking that approach. So you don't come off as self-serving, you don't come off as arrogant, you're really trying to help others, and in doing that, you're also helping yourself and promoting yourself. So I think, you know, that's one approach, but I think it's one that we've seen work really well, especially at this time when you're offering something up to folks that's relevant that they can use, whether it's tips via a live Facebook video, blog articles that, you know, promote something that you do but can be, you know, relevant to folks during this time. There are lots of ways to go about that, but certainly don't think there's anything wrong with that, and definitely encourage that.
And it seems to me that those that do it well aren't looking for an instant return. They're quote-unquote doing it for the quote-unquote right reasons. They're not looking for the phone to ring with a big order after delivering or videoing themselves delivering pizzas to first responders. It's an awareness campaign. Is that right?
That's right. And it goes back to what I said earlier. You know, instead of focusing on sales right now, we should be focusing on building those relationships and reinforcing the relationships that we have with customers. And by doing something like that, that reinforces a consumer's decision to use your small business, you're also then building awareness of folks who may not know you. And it does bring about this, you know, really good sentiment for your brand and for what you're doing in the community. And that's the type of thing that also tends to go viral. The word spreads because you are doing something good and people feel really good about it. And, oh, hey, in the meantime, you've also made a really great campaign for yourself and brought awareness to your small business. So I think that's 100% we're seeing a lot of that right now. And a lot of people are going to be successful with that.
Jennifer, if we could get a list of these ideas from you and RT on, you know, best practices in times of crisis for advertising dollars, social media, self-promotion, maybe a high-level overview of the things that you've listed on this show. I know there are people out there that would love to see them. And folks, if you text What's Working to 44222, I'll get this set up after the show at some point. Text What's Working to 44222. We'll send you this list of ideas for you to consider how to apply it to your own workplace and, you know, help yourself. It's a time of opportunity. That's the way that we got to think of this. Jennifer, RT, thank you so much for your time. You've been very helpful. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
All right. We'll be back after this break. We're going to have Matt Green on talking about the legal side of the COVID-19 in the workplace and how to prevent yourself from getting in trouble or whatever may come of that. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. We'll be right back. And we soldier on. This is Cam Marston, What's Working, special edition, focusing on staying alive in this new economy. On the line with me is Matt Green. Matt's an attorney in town, bio reads. He's a former judge and prosecutor specializing in personal injury and wrongful death cases. Host of Channeling Atticus, a Know Your Legal Rights podcast. Matt, I appreciate you being on the show. I'm going to get you involved in just one second. Folks, check us out online, Instagram, What's Working with Cam Marston, as well as Facebook. Search for What's Working with Cam Marston. You can get many of the lists that we're talking about creating here, really to-do lists for small businesses that come as a result of these conversations and this upcoming one with Matt Green. Matt, thanks for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good to see you.
So, Matt, hear me. One of the questions that I've had most frequently as I've prepared for these shows and I'm kind of surveying small businesses out there that I know, one of the questions that comes in the most is, Cam, how do I prevent myself from being sued by an employee who feels like they got the virus in my workplace, that they can make accusations that I wasn't keeping the workplace clean enough, that maybe I should have been taking employees' temperatures on a regular basis. They got it, they lost work, or whatever it may be. You can hypothesize what the argument may be. But their question, the employer's question, is how do I prevent myself from these lawsuits? Now, you sent me an article out of AL.com that was written on March 19th or posted on March 19th that somewhat touches on this. Let's get into that in a moment. Give me your first blush on an employee lawsuit to an employer about getting sick on the job.
Well, I think that's obviously a huge concern among the businesses in light of everything else. But liability and litigation, are, you know, can take a significant toll on a business. There, and I was just reading this today. Senator Arthur Orr, who's a Republican out of Decatur, has a bill that he is going to, I think, propose granting civil immunity for coronavirus-related lawsuits. He plans on submitting, I think, in the next legislative session. But the language of the bill basically says that a business entity that is properly licensed to conduct business in this state is not liable for any injury or damages, including death, suffered by an individual resulting from the individual's actual or alleged contraction of the coronavirus from another patron, an employee, or other individual while on the premises of the business entity. Now, that's significant, but what's even more significant is that his proposal will make the bill retroactive to March the 1st of 2020. And I would imagine that there will be a significant amount of support for that bill. I don't know if the governor has come out and said what she's going to do if it passes, but that's probably going to be the centerpiece of the next legislative session.
Well, that's good news for business owners out there. Is there anything else that they need to be considering in terms of an employee or employee group coming back to the employer with a grievance of something like that? Or do you think this civil immunity from lawsuits wipes it all clean?
Yes, immunity is exactly that. I mean, if they will be immune from any type of litigation. I mean, you may not even get to engage in what's very expensive is what they call the discovery process, which can often consume a lot of time and resources of a company. But, a lot of times, too, the worker could possibly make a potential claim for workers' compensation if they were injured. It was on the job, and the injured being the contraction of the coronavirus. But I've been reading a lot of legal, a lot of lawyers that specialize in comp that are saying that it's going to be a very tenuous argument for employees to allege that they contracted the virus while at work. It's almost speculative because of the, 14, they're saying up to 14 days you may have this before you show any signs or symptoms. Now, it may be easier for first responders and those in the healthcare industry that have a more, direct contact with the disease to prove a work-related occupational disease contraction of it. But for the average worker, I think it would be very difficult to make a comp claim. And then even if they do, you still may have to, if Senator Orr's bill passes, you may have to deal with complete immunity altogether.
So let's talk about the point of view of the employer now, and let's assume this bill goes through, and the employer recognizes that they've got the immunity, great word, perfect for fitting for it, immunity. It doesn't mean they can act negligent from this point forward. They can't just kind of walk through their workplace and say, yeah, I'm clean, there's nothing you can do. We're taking all the hand sanitizer and selling it on Amazon. We're throwing all the soap away. We're back to the old days. Tell me the employer's point of view or what you would advise their point of view, their frame of mind being, even if this lawsuit goes through, or not this lawsuit, this immunity goes through.
First of all, follow the law. That's the most important thing. If there's a directive, even under an executive order or from Department or any executive department that issues orders related to the workplace or shutdowns or temporary postponement of work, you got to follow it, at least until there's a constitutional challenge, if that's ever made. But that's the most important thing. You have to follow the law. If you go beyond the law or you try to get around it or ask employees to come in when you're on one of the lists of what the governor has declared is non-essential, you're potentially exposing yourself to liability, not only civilly, but potentially criminally as well. So that's the paramount concern an employer should have is follow the law.
Well, let's explore that. I think that's very relevant right now. If the immunity goes through, there's still things that the employers could do that make them vulnerable. And what might those things do? What other types of dangers could an employer unwittingly or perhaps wittingly get themselves into considering this new normal that we're living in now?
Sure, yeah. If you have an employee that you have reasonable grounds to believe or actual knowledge that does indeed have the coronavirus and you mandate they take paid time off or make them come in or require them as a condition of their continued employment to come in, that could be considered a willful or intentional act that could subject the employer to liability. You must be diligent. You got to be diligent, and make sure that you follow the directives and the caution. We have so many of these confusing directives at times, and it's just a very it's a very fluid situation because for a while we were taking directives from the Mobile County Board of Health, and then all of a sudden, the governor steps in. And then we have federal action. Dealing with three different entities and trying to, and it's very difficult for any, especially a small business, to try to navigate these precarious government regulations. But you got to do it.
Curiously, what are the calls you're taking the most these days regarding this? I keep referring to it as the new normal. What are you hearing the most from the marketplace?
First, I'm getting calls. Am I covered? Am I essential? I don't see my business on the list. And you know, we have to be careful as in government. As I say we. I'm not in the government, but when they pass these laws or issue these executive orders, and they leave them, you know, intentionally ambiguous or vague, it creates a great deal of uncertainty, and not which is you know horrible for business. So when they call and they don't know, that leaves them. Well, they're I'm going to just err on the side of caution and shut down. And that's not how the rule of law should work. The rule of law should have a notice of what exactly is being prescribed and the length of that, and if it's reasonable, that sort of thing. And, you know, the governor had to issue a clarification of the order. And then the mayor came out, if you remember, Friday, and he said, well, if your particular business is not specifically on the governor's list, report to work. So you had all these different you know, views of what was going on, and it created great uncertainty, which is part of the problem. So that was one of the big calls I got Friday. It was from a retailer asking, do I have to shut down? And then secondly, there seems to be a great deal of uncertainty as to whether a business could make a claim for loss of income under their insurance policy based on this disaster. And there's some loss of use language in some insurance businesses that have insurance. And I think Bill Allen was on the NBC affiliate this morning talking about that. And he was urging business owners, check your insurance and don't just take other people's word that you're not going to be covered under this provision. Have a lawyer look over the language of the insurance to see if in fact that you know this loss of business, this lost income would be a covered loss under a potential policy you may have in effect. So those are the two main areas I've seen recently, but you know they're subject to change.
Give me a prediction for a year from now, 18 months from now, when this is all, let's hope, shaken out, and what the legal industry is going to be doing retroactively looking back on the crisis this caused. What do you predict?
Well, a fundamental transformation in society as we know it, at least as it appears right now. I know that sounds drastic, but we don't have an end in sight. We're talking about social distancing, corona checkpoints, curfews, postponing court. Remote working, emergency powers in effect. The end game is keeps getting pushed out further and further and further. $2.2 trillion of government intervention in the marketplace and taking, it's just how far is this going to go? I mean, how long can businesses, especially small businesses, survive this? And that's what concerns me.
Yeah. Well, what is your prediction?
And I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but I mean, in the last 30 days, civil society as we know it, has been fundamentally altered.
And do you predict it coming back? We're way off the topic that I put you on the show for, but do you predict it coming back?
I know you asked me what my prediction was. It's hard to say right now in this climate. I mean, right now we just keep getting further and further and further out.
Well, as you,
with
I
no
know,
end in sight. I mean, we have a tentative ending, but it keeps seems to be further and further and further. And I don't know how, you know, I see all my small business owner friends downtown, especially the restaurateurs down here that have been down here for a long time. I mean, on our podcast yesterday, the Channeling Atticus podcast, we talked about 219, Todd Henson. He's been around for 20-something years, used to own La Pizzeria, and he's finally had to shut down. I don't know if it's permanent or not, but when you see, you know, long-term guys like this are really vested in the downtown area folding up, it causes great concern.
How are you spending your days right now?
Limited contact, obviously. It's just my paralegal and I. I'm trying to keep up with clients, checking on them, because a lot of my clients are, you know, paycheck to paycheck. They're concerned about the future as well. And you know, one of the things we have to be worried about from not only the virus perspective, but what is going to be left when we have millions of Americans unemployed with no health insurance? I think that's a public health crisis as well. And that's almost taboo to talk about, but that's would be remiss if we didn't.
Are you taking action to get any of this? Maybe now's too soon, but do you intend to take action to solve any of this or put a patch on it?
Well, you know, in times of emergency situations, the state have, the state of Alabama or the states in our federal system have a large degree of autonomy and with respect to regulating public safety and public health. Those are called, generally referred to as the police powers of a state, that are generally unmolested by the federal government unless they infringe on the Commerce Clause or something like that. Or what we call, there is a fundamental right to interstate travel for individuals that's being, as you know, infringed upon right now in the name of public safety. As we saw over the weekend along the Florida-Alabama line, they were shutting down interstate traffic to residents from New York State, I believe, and Louisiana. But they are letting commercial traffic through, which I think is good. So,
gotta go to break, Matt.
How long this lasts, you know.
Matt, we got to go to break. Matt's a former judge and a prosecutor. His podcast is called Channeling Atticus. I appreciate your time, Matt. Good stuff. I got a list of ideas that I'll summarize when we come back from break. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. We'll be right back. Let's summarize. Here's the bulleted list, folks, of what we've learned today. From Lewis Communications, you can't appear too opportunistic when you're advertising right now. You can't make it look like this crisis is an opportunity for you to gain. 85% of the people out there do want to hear from the brands that they do business with. You need to continue to advertise and build relationships. Relationships are vulnerable right now. You need to be out there and build your relationships and remain positive. Spend money where people are is the last one. They may have moved. They're certainly moved. They're in new places. So spend your advertising dollars where they are. Matt Green told us that civil immunity from the lawsuits will make companies not liable retroactive through March 1st, 2020, if it goes through. If it goes through. It is not through yet. He also suggests you simply follow the law, keep up with the law, the rules are changing, and be diligent about the rules on a regular basis. When we began the show, I promised that I would finish each show in this time of dire need with some positive stuff. Those of you out there that have been around this town for a while may remember the name Chuck Thuss. Chuck is on the line with me right now and has been a great friend of mine for a long time. I go to him when I'm in need for a boost. I consider him a great guy. But he was in the goal of the Mobile Mystics for the longest time. He's born and raised in Canada. When he finished his hockey career, he liked Mobile so much he came back to make his home here. His kids and my kids are friends. His wife and my wife are friends. Chuck, thank you for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Cam, I really appreciate it, and thank you very much for the kind words.
Yeah, Chuck is now working with athletes as well as many other things and helping them, you know, kind of get themselves together, the remarkable stresses that are on athletes, and I've asked him to send us off on a positive note. Chuck, what you got for us today, my man?
I appreciate it, Cam, and yeah, it's, you know, everybody looks at these athletes like they've got the world by the tail, and financially most of them do, and but behind the scenes, a lot of them, they really don't, and I spend a lot of my days working with these guys, the men and women, to just show up as the best version of themselves that they can be, And that's not only for athletes, but it's for you and I. Because right now, in this time that we're in, of such uncertainty and quote-unquote craziness, where things are changing by the minute, people need us to show up as the best version of ourselves that we can be. And whatever that means for you, whether it's being a dad, whether it's being a son, a daughter, a wife, a friend, right now people need friends because their life is so upside down. They just need somebody to talk to. And when you can be present moment all the time, as you and I have talked about many, many times, you're allowing yourself to show up and be the best version of yourselves that you can be. And when we are present moment, right here, right now, everything is okay. Everything is okay. But when we start to let our mind wander in 2 days, 3 days, how long will this pandemic last? All of a sudden, the world becomes a little bit more anxious. And I encourage everybody to just stay present moment right here, right now, where your feet are. Because if we're right here, right now, we can handle this right here, what's in front of us. And just take it one step at a time, put one foot in front of the other, and everything's going to be okay. I promise you. But as soon as we start to let our mind wander and we get too far ahead of ourselves, that's kind of when things kind of get a little chaotic. Bring yourself back, center yourself. And a lot of times that means just sit quietly in a chair as well and just breathe. just breathe and be present moment. And when you do that, you'll find that you bring peace to yourself and to those around you.
I think it's fantastic, Chuck, that so many of the people who perhaps saw you playing hockey with the Mobile Mystics, and I remember sitting down with you and introducing you to a guy whose first memory of you was, oh yeah, before the hockey game even began, you skated to mid-court or mid-rink and got into a brawl with somebody. Now you're kind of completely on the other side of being present in the moment. I'm very curious, Chuck. Many of the athletes that you're working with are on the threshold of greatness in professional careers, and they have to be a little bit stymied, a little bit shocked that this investment in time and energy and lifestyle has perhaps been put on pause for them. And that's not unique to the athletes. There's a lot of folks out there that are dealing with that right now. Tell me what you're saying to the athletes and how it would apply to you and me. Is it the same message?
It really is, Cam, because they are, a lot of the stuff that they're dealing with is the life stuff. It's the mental, right? Physically, they're fine. You and I are both fine physically. It's mentally that we get caught up in the news, in what's happening, what's going on. And so what I would encourage the people to do, and I encourage my athletes to do this, take 5 to 10 minutes first thing in the morning, and you can get on YouTube, and you can, I always say Google on YouTube, and I know that's kind of a funny way to say it, but Google on YouTube some morning meditations. Start your day off on a very calm note, a very relaxing note, and that's going to allow you to stay present, stay moment in the moment, and just take it one step at a time. The other thing I like to do is get immersed in a really good book, because books have a tendency to take us somewhere else, away from the chaos, away from the craziness. And if I can encourage a lot of people to do one thing, try not to spend too much time in front of the TV watching the news. I'm not a guy that's against it. I just think if we watch too much of it, it allows us to become what they're saying and become what's being put out there. And while we can be aware of it and live according to it, we don't have to become it. And that's really what I share with the guys and the girls that I work with.
Yeah.
You don't have to become and be a part of what's happening, but you can observe it. Does that make sense?
Sure. Be in the world, but not of the world, or something like that. It's a quote that I often try to remember for myself. Chuck, where can people find out more about you and the work that you do?
My website is www.thecompassionateconnection.com, and you can connect with me on there. There's a link at the bottom. Shoot me a message. I'd love to connect. And again, Cam, like you said, my specialty is elite athletes, because that's the world that I come from. But if there's anybody else out there that just needs to talk, just needs a friend, reach out. I'm here. I'm available. And let's talk through it. And I would love to connect.
Generous offer of you. Chuck Thuss, folks, one of the world's greatest people. If you want a list of the ideas from the show today, text What's Working to 44222. You're listening to What's Working. Send me your ideas on guests we need to have and questions that you have. We'll have another show for you Thursday, folks. Do your best to have a great day. Have a good week. We'll talk to you again Thursday.